listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
All my life I want money and power, respect my mind or die from lead shower. Pray my dick get big as the Eiffel Tower so I can fuck the world for 72 hours. God damn, I feel amazing. Damn, I'm in the matrix. My mind is living on cloud nine and it's nine. It's never on vacation. Start off that Maserati and vroom, vroom, I'm racing. Popping pills in the lobby and I pray they don't find a nigga. I pray you niggas is hating. Judas go after Judas. Jesus Christ, if I live life on my knees, ain't no need to do this. Park it in front of Ludus. Next to that church is chicken. All you pussies are losers. All my niggas is winning. Same it. All my life I want money and power, respect my mind or die from lead shower. I pray my dick get big as the Eiffel Tower so I can fuck the world for 72 hours.
God damn, I got bitches.
Wife it, girlfriend and mistress. All I anyway, hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. You guys can find us on iTunes and Stitcher. I think you guys already know that if you're listening. Mm-hmm. You can also find us on crowdcast.io if you want to watch us live, play music and sing along and shit for like 30 minutes or so before we start each show. Mm-hmm. The official weapon of the show is
Taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball. Extreme. Also on iTunes, if you leave us 5-star reviews, we read them on the show as long as they're nice. So do that, because we only got one last week. Come on, guys. It's Christmas. Give us a Christmas present. You've been listening to the show all year.
All year long.
Some of y'all been bumming off the show for 6-7 years. Can you at least leave us a little Christmas present, a little 5-star review? Okay.
It's absolutely free. Don't try. No, it don't cost you nothing.
It costs you nothing. Pay me no mind, okay? Also, I will add this, too. If you are a person that has your own platform, whether it's social media, whether you write for someone, whether you have a podcast of your own, whether you have whatever, black podcasts held by people of color, podcasts held by marginalized groups of people, they could all use your support for spreading the word. You know, not every show is lucky enough or, you know, whatever, to have the backing of some of these major media corporations. So right. If you guys, are, you know, somewhere where you think you can help, spread the word, man. You know, whether it's your social media platforms or whatever. If you write for somebody, I mean, we got so many hits off of just being at ebony.com. Mm-hmm. You know, all these things help. When people do, you know, these hashtags and they talk about different shows and they recommend stuff, if you have a blog and you make a list of shows and stuff, not only is it good for us, it's also good for the people who write about it, because our listeners will go read that piece, they'll spread that piece. You know, these milestones are celebrated for the shows, and it's about the end of the year, which means a lot of people are going to be writing there. These are the podcasts you need to listen to. These are the black podcasts you need to listen to.
The best podcasts of 2016 at whatever, you know, list that they do.
Yeah, and I implore people that if you listen to this show, that means you definitely know of other shows. Mm-hmm. Don't just go by the top 10 on iTunes or whatever the fuck that everybody else is going to put in their list. Branch out, find some stuff. I don't even care if you don't list us. I just think it's important to list some alternatives, because every podcast list looks like the same 5 or 6 shows.
Yeah, like, and nobody else exists.
Yeah, you know, and I understand that things get cliquish and there's all this kind of shit, but you know, we try to spread the love around here, and I hope that people you know, on whatever platforms they have, I hope they spread the love too.
Me too.
All right, so with no further ado, this show is sponsored. It's brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. They have an album, it's an audio play album with me and Karen on. It's called Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. Mm-hmm. And they want you guys to go buy it, okay? It's on Amazon, it's on iTunes, just Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. You can just search it, or you can search my name, because it'll come up. And if you do like it, if you buy it, leave it a 5-star review on iTunes or Amazon. And it, like I said, helps the show out. We got to be silly, do some acting, do some voices. Mm-hmm. You know, a bunch of silly stuff that, you know, you guys will probably enjoy. So please do that. We're also brought to you by Bevel. Of course, Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed for people with specifically with coarse curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out getbevel.com/tbgwt and you can get your first month free. Okay, I mean, it can't get more closer to Christmas than this right here. Okay, guys, so make sure you guys do that. Getbevel.com, getbevel.com/tbgwt. So yeah, hopefully you guys will do that, because like I said, helps the show out tremendously when you guys support our sponsors. And when you support our sponsors, I mean, you get something for yourself, really. So, you know, it's really no excuse not to do it. You know, I think they make great gifts too, you know, put it under the Christmas tree and all that stuff as well. All right, let's see, what all do we want to talk about? Oh, we went bowling last night for my mom's birthday.
That was fun.
It was fun. I never go bowling in my free time. It was fun. I think we played like 3 rounds. We had like 9 or 10 people. Mm-hmm. So the whole family was getting into it. My Aunt Sharon almost killed everybody with the bowling ball.
Yes, she did.
Cause, the ball went backwards. So, but she reached back and just came towards everybody. But, we had fun, man. I did have a couple. One thing is, bowling is tough on your wrist, for one.
Yes,
like,
it is.
My wrist ain't felt like that since I discovered Vanessa Del Rio. Oh, it was just so sore last night. And then the other part is, why do they serve finger foods at the bowling alley? It's the only thing they serve. It's like fries, wings, nachos.
Yeah, because they assume most of them ain't coming in for a full-fledged meal.
Your hand is on a motherfucking dirty ball that's been rolling on the floor all damn day, though.
Correct.
It's disgusting if you think about it. Oh, yeah. They should only serve like protein shakes or something. I don't know what they should serve, but it shouldn't be nothing you gotta touch, because that's gross. Like, doesn't make me want fries less than knowing somebody's dirty bowling ball fingers been all up in the fries. It's just like, you know what? No, I'll go without tonight.
Yeah, and the first bowling alley that they were going to go to, instead of jumping out the club, very few people bowl. Most people drink and eat them finger foods. You know, because that whole little strip is like a club strip. You know, it's like a bunch of bars. So it's like a bar strip. So the bowling alley kind of is a substitute / bar. It wouldn't surprise me if they make more money off of food and drinks than they do off of fucking people bowling at that particular bowling alley.
I don't know. I've never been inside. Honestly, I can't even remember if I've been inside. It wasn't like a weekday or something, because you can't even park over there. But the other thing too that was weird about I'm not a good bowler, guys, just in mm-hmm. case.
I'm terrible.
Yeah, don't let this gut fool you. I suck at bowling. I
need cross 100.
I did make it into second place by the end. You know, I was second in I think we played 3 rounds or whatever. Is that what they call 3 games? We played 3 games, and I did come in second at the end with like 100 and something points. So that was cool. Yeah. But in general, I'm pretty fucking terrible.
Yeah.
We had these two girls next to us that were like professional league bowlers.
Like semi-pros, almost like John.
They were killing it.
Them girls, it was like two. It was like one on the left and one on the right. Their whole like 10, you know, like 10 rounds outpaced our whole entire group combined.
Yeah. We was just trying to beat them.
Right. And even combined 10 points, they was like, still beat you.
Yeah. But it was fun though. We had a good time. And that's really what matters the most.
Oh yeah, we had a real good time. People, they was trying to, stump the ball in the right direction, pray the ball in the right, it didn't work. We was all just terrible and just having a good time.
Yeah, being able to laugh at yourself, and, you know, that's kind of one of the things I love about my family, is that we can just, like, have a good time clowning around and laugh at ourselves and shit. So it was just everybody laughing at how terrible we all were at bowling, which was a good time, man. All right, another thing I was thinking about, we went to the movies, we saw Rogue One.
Yes,
it was great. I loved it.
It was everything.
I want to actually go back and see it again. You know, so I'm probably gonna go back and see it. It was weird, because like, it's not the kind, it wasn't like Star Wars episode 7 for me. Mm-mm. The Force Awakens, where I knew immediately, like, I'm going to see this in the theater more and more and more times. Rogue One was a movie where I left and was like, I don't know if I just want to own that on Blu-ray and watch it in my house. And the more I thought about the movie, the more I was just like, oh yeah, that part was dope. I won't see this shit again. So
When it ended, I was like, I definitely would like to see it in the theater, because it's something about the theater experience. I feel bad for people, I ain't trying to throw no shade, but I feel bad for people that don't see movies in the movie theaters at all. Like, they only watch movies on their television. You miss so much shit, because there's certain things in movies that are really meant to be watched in 800-inch screen movie theater. Like, that's the only way that they're meant. I know that don't make no sense what I just said. That's the only way they're meant to be seen, on a big ass wide 800-inch screen in the movie theater. That's what I meant to say. And I know they're not 800 inches. Please don't email me and tell me the
you doubled down on the 800-inch. You know the kind of stupid emails we gonna get now, and you still double down on 800 inches.
Yep, because I can. Mm-hmm. They're only meant to be watched on big ass screens and HD and HDI Max sometimes, depending on the movie. So I really loved it. Was certain things that happened where you go, oh, this is why I paid the extra $2 for the 3D glasses.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, and I actually hope we get a Darth Vader solo film next. Yes. Because it was that fun. But in the previews, they had a lot of good previews. Spider-Man, Fast and Furious, in outer space, whatever the fuck they doing. And then Transformers had a trailer. You guys know how I feel about those films. I love those films. And I realized this time Sir Anthony Hopkins is in it. And if Sir Anthony Hopkins is in it, if he isn't too good to be in Transformers, then I'm not too good to be in the theater to watch his masterful performance. Okay? That is Sir Anthony Hopkins. And you will put respect upon his name. And I know I will, so I'll be there. So y'all can be snobs if y'all want to, but you ain't better than Sir Anthony Hopkins. So.
Oh yeah, I was going to see that no matter what. Like, I feel how you want to feel about the Transformers movies. I was like, oh, it's going to be flames and I'm here.
Yeah, I also saw a preview for a movie. I think it's called Split.
Oh, and also before we move on.
Never mind. Sorry.
For those of you that, see the movie for Transformers and get hype, and know you hated all the other one, quit watching them shits. That's all I want to say. Just quit watching the shit. Just stop watching. You ain't gonna like this one because you ain't like the other 6 or 7.
Nah, at this point, I want y'all to come watch it with me. I like it. I like that y'all don't like it and y'all can't stop yourselves. Because secretly, y'all do like them big ass robots fighting.
I mean, you got to, because you don't never, you just keep coming back.
At this point, the complaints are funny to me, and I hope y'all keep going. Hey, maybe they'll get it right this time, guys, right? Mm-hmm. Talk yourself into it. I think it was either Bob Tone on Twitter. He was like, I hate all these movies and I will be in the theater to watch this one too. Can't help myself. I'm like, I feel you, dog. Keep it real. So I saw the preview for this movie Split, and it looks like somebody abducts, someone kidnaps like three young white girls and puts him in an underground bunker.
Oh, I don't want to see that.
And it's the dude that plays Charles Xavier from the X-Men, and he's got a whole bunch of split personalities. Mm-hmm. And he's keeping them hostage and they don't know which personality is which and shit. And it's funny because at the end of the preview it's like, by M. Night Shyamalan. And I was like, yo, we've gotten to the point where the twist in the M. Night Shyamalan movie is that he directed it. Like, that's the twist. Is like, did you enjoy that trailer? Yeah. M. Night did it. What? Oh, shit. Oh, I can't see this.
Like, that's exactly how I go. I see M. Night Shyamalan, I'm like, nah, I'm not watching that. Mm-mm, not watching that movie at all.
Like, that's the damn, that's so sad, man. His brand is so bad now that it's just like, oh, he did it? Oh, man. Mm-mm. We can't tell nobody that part to the end of the trailer. We need to let them watch 2 minutes of this and be like, I think I could watch this. And then right when they get ready to do it, it's like, from the man that brought you the Sixth Sense. Wait a minute.
I've been tricked.
That's how I feel. Signs. I know who made that. So that's pretty funny. Another just random thought I had too. This is apropos of nothing. I think I was looking at a picture of some women in church, and I was thinking, I feel like pimps for the players ball and stuff like that, and mm-hmm. old black church women shop at the same section of the hat store.
They do,
because those hats be so fucking simple. It's like the feathers, sequins, all kinds of like straps and scarf shit all over the hat. Mm-hmm. It's got to be like in the same store in the same department. It's no way it's two stores that sell different, like, oh, pimp hat, church hat. It's got to be right next to each other.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, especially when you get really really fancy, they start having bowls and flowers and yeah. And on the low, my mama got them hats. I quit buying my mama church hats. Oh, I think for her birthday, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna buy my mama a hat. No, it was Christmas, something like that. I was like, I'm gonna buy my mama a hat. And when I went to go give her a hat, I ended up having to take it back because I don't know the hat. I'm not of the church hat culture. So I didn't know there was such thing as spring hats and summer hats and fall hats, you know, because some made out of straw, some a little thicker, some made out of wool. And them hats can be very, very expensive, you know. And you get them, and depending on where you go, you get it in the same thing. They so precious, they you get them in a cake box. I don't know if y'all had, like, the big-ass mm-hmm. cake box where they put the 4-5-tier-layer cake. That's what you get these hats in, for those of you that don't know, because they're so precious. They got to be in the cake. You can't be having, you know, the elements affect your hat mm-hmm. and you ain't going to church.
So I agree. I think that's what I'm thinking anyway. Another random thought, you guys probably haven't thought of this in a while. Fuck happened with Jill Stein and all that money, y'all?
It got quiet, didn't it?
What happened? Anybody know what happened with Jill Stein and all that money? She was like, we gonna have a recount. It's gonna be me recounting these dollars, bitch. I feel like she is just somewhere just rich as fuck, just
paying off her debt.
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe stacking for the next
4 years when she, after she ain't been doing shit.
Yeah, she's just stacking or something right now, because I mean, what happened, you know? Like, it's just, she's just someone like, where them dollars at? Everybody was so gung-ho about that recount, thinking it was gonna save the election, and I just been reading story after story just like, it ain't gonna happen, y'all. Don't look like it's good, y'all. Jill Stein withdraws the court thing, da 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 da. Just inauguration getting closer and closer. What happened to the money, though?
Because a lot of people gave a lot of money.
Y'all was all up in Hillary Clinton pockets for them dividends and what about the Clinton Foundation? Y'all was all up in her pockets. What the fuck? Where the money go, Jill Stein? I just want to know where the money at. Is it just like sitting under your couch somewhere? Like, where are the dollars? Oh shit, man. That's why I think we should start a party exclusively for black people, because it's obviously you can't depend on none of these white people to help us. I think that's been made plain by the fact that we have this you know, the results that we have, and a lot of black people weren't excited about this election. So I think we should start just a black party. Now, we won't win shit. It's only 13% mm-hmm. of us, and not enough white people gonna join in.
Of course.
But at least we'll have our own party. I think we should call it the Collard Green Party.
The Black Eyed Peas Party.
No, just the Collard Green Party. Mm-mm. They got the Green Party and then the Collard Green Party. And our shit gonna be lit. Like, all our
shit gonna be lit.
All our events gonna be better. All the food at our events gonna be better.
Yeah, it's gonna be greens and hot sauce and all the greens and vinegar.
All the entertainment at our events gonna be better.
Yes.
Our celebrity endorsements gonna be on fleek, as they used to say in 2015.
Yes, it is.
It's gonna be it's gonna feel a lot better. It's gonna be like DJ Khaled gonna be our speakers and shit at our opening events.
Anthony Hamilton gonna sing.
Right. You know, a DNC and the RNC, they had their thing with the GCNC. You know, we gonna be partying. The GCNC gonna be
like, I smell the food already. You gonna be able to smell the food before you get to the convention center.
Yep. Another thing I have to admit, today, DJ Khaled, you finally got me, dog.
What happened?
I caved. I'm all in on DJ Khaled being an adorable cornball, and I can't pretend not to love everything he does anymore. Fuck it. I was trying to hold out and just be like, this corny ass nigga. But then he had that little baby and started taking pictures started taking pictures with other hip hop people. I mean, he even got Future to take a picture with a baby. We all know how impossible that is. That's Ciara.
Come on.
And yet, he made it happen. And you know what? I'm gonna stop fighting him, man. I wanted to diss him or just ignore it. Hope he would go away.
He can't. He everywhere.
But he's too positive. It's not even that he's everywhere. It's just he's too positive of an influence for me to pretend like he not out here doing good work, man.
Mm-hmm. And another one. And another one. I'm here for it.
All right. So I don't know if he says the N-word or not, because I don't really listen to his music like that, but he probably do. And you know what? It's fine.
Yeah. You smart.
You can have it. You can have it, buddy. You make me feel good. I'm not gonna fight it no more. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, he good Snapchat follow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I say this too, though. Speaking of non-black people saying stuff about race, I don't know if you guys play basketball. If you play pickup basketball, if you ever play with white people, whenever a white dude, no matter how cool I am with this dude, whenever a white dude says, as like an accolade to a black player when they like scoring on the court or doing something good, whenever they say like, good shot boy, or let's go boy, part of me always, it feel like a twinge of racism, like the record is skipping, like the needle just skipped on the record, because I can't separate white people saying boy to the black people.
Yeah, you know, and
I can't help it. Like, and it's not, and it's only just a twinge. It's not like I stop the game and be like, hold up, you ain't gonna call me boy. It's nothing. It's not dramatic, but it's just a little, like, I have to remind myself, like, it's cool. MT's cool. He's been down your house, y'all. You know, y'all went to the store together. Everything's, y'all work together. Y'all, this isn't about that. But in my mind, it just turns into motherfucking A Time to Kill every time I hear that shit.
It don't bother me. The only time it bothers me is in context. Like to me is how it's being used. Like situation like that, I don't think twice about it, because you know it's one of those things where it's probably just second nature for them, just that, like, that's just kind of just what people do and say. I've still heard black people talk about like that in that format, but I do understand what you're saying. I think for me, if you say boy and it's in a certain scenario, yes, I will get mad because I know it's racism behind it, but overall I think I look at each situation differently.
It's probably my, like, I don't know. I feel like it's just a blanket catch-all for me. Yeah, because I mean, maybe it's because I'm a black dude, right? And boy has always been, historically, it's been a pejorative term to like dehumanize black men and say like, you're a boy, you're not on my level, you're not a man, I don't have to respect you. But every fucking time, I mean, it could be a positive, you know, like, hey, good pass, boy.
Right.
And I say it too. Like, I say boy to black people all the time. I say it to white people. It never bothers me the other way if I'm like, let's go, boy. Cause I'm like, obviously you my boy. We homies. We cool.
Right.
But white people don't even really, you know, like when white dudes say it, I'm just like, fuck you mean, boy. Cracker. And then I'm like, oh
Lord.
Why am I saying that to this dude? He was at my wedding or whatever. You know, like, it's just, you can't help it, man. I don't know.
It's the hardest wish to turn off.
Racism is evil, man. It's poison so much. I feel like
it'll fuck you up.
Racism makes black people aware of, like, we keep up with what white people are into and saying and what their culture is about. Mm-hmm. But we keep up with it the same way that, like, a gazelle keeps up with what lions are up to. Like, it's not really a genuine interest for me. Like, I'm just like, what are white people mad about? Outright.
Yeah, what's the new phrase they calling us for today? So I know whatever that phrase is, I know. Oh, so we Mondays now. Oh, okay. So that's what they call us. Like, I don't know. And I find that out from the cool kids on Twitter. I don't know what the fuck the new slang is.
Like, I can't really say that I love their culture because I'm only out for self-protection. I'm just like, okay, so this the new website y'all on? Okay, let me check this out. That's how the racism's gonna spread. All right, last random thought, then we can get into some news, okay, guys? Did y'all grow up with Halloween, with the myth, you know, you gotta get your candy, take it to y'all make sure you take your candy down to the x-ray place, or, you know, be careful when you open this candy. And then the big one, you know, they put razor blades in apples. So you do remember this, Karen? That has to be a myth, because if you put razor blades in apples, everybody would know which house that was, because we would all remember the house that gave us fucking apples as kids. That house is never cool. It's not like every house gave out apples. If there's only one dick in the neighborhood that would be like, you know what, I'm gonna give these kids apples this year. They need to be healthy.
You know what,
apples? And we would just throw, it would just be apples on the side of the street, because no one would eat that shit.
Nope.
No one would get bitten. No one would bite into a razor blade apple, because we wouldn't bite into an apple that we got on candy night. It's candy night. It's not healthy snack night. What the fuck? You get one night a year to give people candy, and you want to do some bullshit? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, and you would recognize that house, because not only would you get apple, you would get apple and dental floss.
Yeah, well, that's how it's got to be a lie. It's got to be. Yes. There's no house that would do that, you know. And if it was, it's only one house. Like, that motherfucker will get caught within seconds. Don't go to their house. They obviously giving out razor blades and apples. Who the fuck wants, you know, if you really want to fuck these kids up, and I'm not saying you should, but you put a razor blade in a Three Musketeers bar or something, right? I mean, obviously you're going to put it in some candy. Like, if you really trying to fuck these kids up, you put it in something that everybody's going to get, you know? You don't put it in the bullshit that everybody's going to remember. Oh, don't go to Miss Johnson's house. She giving out fucking pears. You're like, no.
Ah!
Who came up with that myth? That is stupid. It is easily debunked.
Very.
Oh, what a dumbass myth. I thought about that the other day and got mad. Anyway. Alright.
I'll tell you one thing. Mm-hmm. The hospital would be mad if all these parents showed up wasting their time fucking x-ray and candy. They'd be like, look, we got real x-rays to be doing. X-ray no goddamn candy.
Well, they might do that now. Back then, that's how they used to just give away x-rays, y'all. Can y'all remember a time when they just like, let's x-ray candy for the kids? Now they'd be like, ma'am, that is $7,000 per x-ray.
Yes, sir.
Since we gave you that pudding cup, that's an extra 50.
Come on.
And it's not covered by Obamacare. This is a pre-existing condition of candy. Mm-mm. And it's not covered under your diabetes.
Nope. No copay.
Mm-hmm.
And we want our money now.
All right. So let's get into this news. Charleston church shooter Dylan Roof was found guilty of murdering 9 black parishioners in his race war that he tried to start on his own. And now he has to, they have to do sentencing, so he's gonna beg for his life or, get that death penalty, or maybe do both. You know, it's weird, cause I did see people kind of celebrating it, and I understand, but that just, it's such a sad statement about society that people have to be like, oh, so if you kill 9 church-going innocent black people in cold blood.
In a perfect quote-unquote scenario, because they was in church, you know, so it's like, all right, come on, dog.
Right. Yeah, this country will convict you of murder. Woo! Duh, thank goodness. We found the line, you know, because that's just how much we're used to just being like, no, we do not think that was murder, you know. And thank God he wasn't wearing a badge, right? Who knows what would have happened. But he tried, at first he wanted to defend himself.
Yeah, he had a lawyer, got rid of him, tried to defend himself, realized that shit was hard, was like, hey, let me get my lawyer back. Go to jail.
So, but yeah, hope he gets the death penalty. I don't give a fuck. And ultimately, I don't think it, in the aggregate, is going to make much of a difference, but I don't know. I just don't want to be on the planet with him. Let's see what else happened. Oh, a New Jersey state trooper got suspended for pulling over women and asking them out and then covering it up.
Mm-hmm. So he wasn't writing tickets, he was just pulling them over.
He was suspended without pay after an internal investigation revealed that he was pulling over women to ask them out on dates and then tampering with police records to cover it up. 37-year-old Marquise Prather. Oh, Jesus. They don't even have his picture here, but come on. Oh God, come on, buddy. Buddy.
Can't be harassing people. It's scary enough driving as a woman as is.
Yeah, that's always, oh God, oh no. Oh, Marquise, oh, he's, oh God, he's black.
Of course.
Mm-mm-mm. Anyway, I mean, come on, ain't no white Marquises. Anyway, he was arrested Friday on charges of third degree tampering with public records and fourth degree falsifying and tampering with records. He was released without bond, according to officials of the state police office or professional standards, launched an investigation into Prather after several women complained about his behavior on the road. That investigation uncovered a pattern of pulling women over between the ages of 20 and 35 and soliciting them to go on a date with him and give them his phone, give him their phone numbers. Yeah, and keep in mind, you asking for somebody's phone number and they're probably thinking, or go to jail,
right? Because you got my address, motherfuckers. Don't, like, everything about me comes up in the goddamn system, so if I say no, you can stalk me, you can harass me, all because you got my information,
right? I get a ticket if I say no,
right?
He allegedly turned off his wireless microphone during his interactions with women and then falsely reported that the device had malfunctioned. It just happened to keep malfunctioning every time you see a pretty woman. The state trooper also accused of lying about the gender of the drivers he pulled over in state police computer logs to cover up the fact that he was targeting young women. Aside from the women who came forward with complaints about him, state authorities were able to also identify others during the investigation who had also been pulled over by Prather and who gave statements outlining similar alleged conduct. So there you guys go. Mm-hmm.
You got these malfunctions, right?
Mm-hmm. Do you know how fast you were going? Because I like to slow that ass down, if you know what I'm saying. Nope. Okay. All right. You know, you gave a failure to signal your number. And I'm going to have to sentence you to a hot date. I know that shit was so corny. We got an officer down because I like to go down on you, girl.
You know, it was whack. It was whack as shit. And the thing is, like you say, you threatening with fucking jail time by trumping up the charges or some other bullshit.
I mean, even if you not, that's how they feel,
right?
It's implied, right? I mean,
yes, it is implied.
Even if you just pull me over as a fucking police officer and I wasn't doing anything wrong and you just like, hey, so look, I just saw you driving and I thought maybe I should get your number. I'm sitting up here like, nigga, I'll give you my number if you a cop and you just pull me the fuck over like, hey, nigga, I like that beard and I seen you was driving that. Hey man, look, 704, write it down. Am I gonna get a ticket for this? I like to pay for your drink tickets. Hey, whatever, brother, just put it down. I just want to go home and I'm gonna put your phone number on block. And then if you drive that route every day,
right, if it's your way to work, and I guarantee you it was he probably had watched these people go up and down certain areas because he probably knew that this was the way they were traveling. I don't think he randomly pulled people up. I think he probably targeted people in advance. It's probably their way to work, their way home, maybe their way they go to the grocery. Like, it was somewhere where it was areas that they frequently traveled. It had to be. He didn't know it was randomly, oh, I'm gonna, I don't believe it was randomly, oh, I'm just gonna pick you today. It might have been every now and then, but most of those women, he probably knew certain routes that they traveled.
Yeah, that's scary, man.
Right.
Now I gotta take the long way to work because Officer McLovin over here trying to get my digits. Speaking of double digits, minimum wage protest ends in 23 arrests. Nearly two dozen people were arrested in Yaber, I don't know how you pronounce it, Y-B-O-R city? Yaber? Now I gotta search how the fuck this is pronounced because I can't live in a world where I don't know how to say whatever the fuck this is. They don't have a, see, how to, oh, there we go, how to pronounce Y-B-O-R. Okay. Sorry guys, I have to know, my thirst for knowledge never stops. Oh, Ybor, that's how you pronounce that?
Yeah, that was some people in chat.
All right, Ybor. All right, anyway, in Ybor City Tuesday night after a demonstration aimed at raising the minimum wage. Workers said the current minimum wage ain't enough and they like it to be raised to $15 an hour. I don't have enough money for a light and a water bill, said protester Gail Rogers, who, you know, everybody has trials and tribulations, and I've been at that stage. But now I need more money for my cost of living. I need $15 in a union. They held a Fight for 15 rally in Centennial Park in Ybor City. Protesters began, marching in Centennial Park about 5 p.m., headed towards 7th Avenue. Then they marched to 22nd Street. According to police, the demonstrators turned west to 21st Street, and it was there that many sat down, blocking the road. Tampa police asked them several times to move for safety reasons. Most of the demonstrators moved to the sidewalk, but police said 23 didn't. Those individuals were arrested. Whether you put us in jail or do something more grave to us, we want to let the president and the people in power know that we're not going to accept this kind of injustice and racism, said Bishop Chuck Lee, who was one of the protesters who was arrested. I think the only way we can effectively let them know is by taking it to the streets. No one resisted arrest, and police said there was no violence. Demonstrators who were arrested were released immediately with a notice to appear in court. Rogers said she has no regrets about it. I'm not ashamed, said Rogers. I will sleep just fine, and I'm going to go to work tomorrow and do my regular duties for $7.55 or whatever the fuck else that people can't make a living on.
No money. You can't live off of that.
Yep. Can't make a living. Kanye West protege Lupe Fiasco is officially saying, this is what he's saying, okay? He's saying this, okay? He is officially saying that he is no longer making music anymore after being accused of anti-Semitism.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We will see.
He basically said, look, y'all,
and who was asking for it? That's my question. Who are these people going? I can't wait for the next hot Lupe Fiasco album.
Yep. Well, Kanye West was out there meeting Donald Trump. With I think Jim Brown was there. Who else? Somebody else was there. Ray Lewis was there. Billy D. Williams from Undercover Brother was there. It was a lot of people up in there. Anyway, Lupe Fiasco took to Twitter on Tuesday to announce that he was not releasing any more music for his upcoming three albums are canceled. His label would probably be like, he gonna be in Lupe again. Don't worry, he'll be back.
Right, because you got an obligation. You gonna pay us for the albums? You know, the money we're gonna lose?
He was accused of anti-Semitism based off of content from a freestyle that he released earlier this week. He also claimed that his song was taken off SoundCloud for hate speech. But actually, it's still up and streaming, so what the fuck?
Ha ha!
What? Lupe can't get nothing right. Just, why, brother? What happened? You used to be so beautiful.
Did he, though? Oh, my God. Pop
cola. Indeed. Indeed, what they say. Yeah. Too many best rappers, not enough best rhymes though. Guess I'm delusional, used to doing it all the time. So maybe I'm just jaded, out of touch and unrelated. Unable to connect greatness based on the person who makes it. Or maybe I just hate it, and that would make me hater. Maybe it is great, but that don't mean it's greater. Having your profile raised doesn't make you a razor. Being ambiguous with assertions isn't making you safer. What you mean though? Line us up, paddle us on the back like we steamboat. You president of the frat, you gon' sling toast like you ring gold. And you think Doc Holliday's just gonna tolerate and too sick to let that thing go? It's just a matter of returns. Ashes to ashes, scatter them from the urns. To start a fire shaky, to gather them from the burned and reassemble these ashes. The blackness is something firm. Then moving blackness backwards in the bread and some other shit. Any deep, we spreading wheat seeds from a bucket shit. McDonald had a farm and he loving it. Rolls Royce of the scenting voice against the arms of the government. Artists getting robbed for they publishing by dirty Jewish execs who think that it's arms from the covenant. I retire when I'm tired.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, I see.
Folks ain't gonna go for that.
Yeah, you can't. Come on, Lupe.
Not unless you Mel Gibson. You can't do that.
Yeah, that's. I know. You thought you could do it. You thought you could get away with it. You thought you could just say that, but.
Look, I told you I wasn't stepping too. I ain't disrespecting you, son.
You want it to be one way.
What?
You want it to be one way.
Man, I don't
you
know
want it to
you...
be one
Man,
way.
Stop.
Stop saying that. What if the other way?
It's the other way, dog. You cannot be out here talking about no dirty, what, greedy Jewish execs and be like, oh, yeah, it's cool, though. Buy my album. I'm like, nigga, who you think you are, the coop? Anyway, he then went on Twitter and was pouting about it. I get the hint, guy. Lupe fans, it's been fun. I hope you had fun. I'm officially not releasing any more music. Album's canceled. Getting beat up for telling the truth is not how I plan on spending the rest of my life. You know, keep in mind that they did not even take the freestyle down. So I don't know what's going on with that guy. But hey, good for you, buddy. Good for you. Oh, here's some terrible news. Lady Gaga agreed to do an interview with Piers Morgan after he questioned her PTSD about rape. 2016, year of the troll, right? I mean, pretty much a lot of people troll themselves into prominence. I mean, it's a lot of people that probably deserve an audience, not deserve, but are more deserving of an audience with Lady Gaga, you know, especially someone that's going to talk to her about something as sensitive as her sexual assault. And this guy just basically trolls her into going on his show. He called her PTSD claims vainglorious nonsense and claimed outraged that she would use this to promote herself. And that, it's like, you know, if you meet him face to face and talk about it, it's not like he's going to be different. And this is that empathy troll shit I talked about with Charlamagne, Tommy Lauren. A lot of people feel like I am going to be the person to talk to them. And especially when they're using like certain, like, you know, when it comes to racism, a lot of black people want to be the person that engages these people and gets them to see the light. A lot of black people want that, because we've been conditioned to seek white approval. Women do this all the time, where they like, there are men who are just absolutely not deserving of an audience with you. You've studied and gone to school and read books about, you know, feminism and black women in history, and then this nigga just gets a Twitter account and is like, black feminism tearing apart the black family. Why y'all always bringing up intrapartner violence? Why y'all gotta be bringing up that black men be beating black women? Isn't it really your ideas that's tearing the family up? And that person should not really be given any country. They really don't need to be replied to. They're not gonna see your point of view. They're not gonna ever, they've read zero anything. They right. follow zero women. They don't absorb anything in these conversations. But because, you know, we're conditioned that, well, men have the opinions that need to be reasoned and bargained with, people end up engaging these dudes. So it's kind of like that, where these people aren't worth the time. They're the brand, especially the people that make money off of it. Like a nigga on Twitter, I can kind of understand, because it's like, well, maybe, you know, this nigga got 5 followers or whatever, but maybe I can get him to see the light. You know, maybe he really doesn't understand. Piers Morgan understands. He want to get rich off of it. Like, the brand is, I don't understand, and I say ignorant shit, and then you come on and fight about it, and I never, ever, ever back off. I never change my mind. Nothing can possibly make me think I say insensitive shit, and that's why people watch my show. Like, they wouldn't watch the reasonable show that you want to, like, the show where Piers Morgan comes out and goes, I was wrong. And it was really harmful for me to say that, and all the women out there that have been sexually assaulted, that see me talk like that, it's bad for the, nah, he's never gonna come around.
Mm-mm. And nigga, you don't belong here. You're not even from America, but you constantly trolling Americans.
Yeah, she revealed that she faces PTSD on a segment for Today, in which she visited the Ali Forney Center for Homeless LGBTQ Youth in New York. She followed that up with a letter posted on her Born This Way Foundation website, elaborating on the disorder. Most recently, she thanked Madonna and her Brave and Strong Billboard Women in Music Acceptance speech, which touched on issues of feminism, misogyny, and more. Morgan, meanwhile, I wasn't buying any of it. First, he responded to Gaga's PTSD claims, asserting it was vainglorious nonsense and claiming outrage that she would use this to quote unquote promote herself. He went on to state that Gaga and Madonna's allegations of rape are simply that, since they did not file any police reports. Yeah, I guess he's moved on from trolling black people that much, because apparently it's not picking up anymore.
It's not, we not the hot shit, because we ain't got no black president no more. So obviously, forget about the
niggas. No. Hold up. He does it.
Oh yeah.
I'm saying it don't get it. I've seen articles where I just went, I'm not covering that, because it used to trend on Twitter when he did.
Yes, it did.
Now he does it, and I'm assuming he's moved on to bigger and better fashion, because it's just not trend. He's, you know, he like came for Beyonce and shit, and now it just seems like people are like over it, like okay, whatever, nigga,
right?
You know, like descending down from Mount Ashy just to
fucking with the other hotep
to give a decree on this shit. The interview hasn't officially been announced yet. I think they actually did the interview, if I'm not mistaken, but matter of fact, let me search. I think they actually did the interview, but it just felt, and this isn't me saying this is what Lady Gaga needs to do. This is literally just me saying, it still feels sad. Can I say that without having,
right?
Like, I'm not telling her what to do, and if she wants to go do that, that's fine. Mm-hmm. It just feels like these trolls keep winning, because they say harmful, ignorant shit, and then they get rewarded with everyone kind of coming to them to convince them of their wrong ways. But they would have never said the shit in the first place if it was actually not harmful. Like, it's just what they do. And a guy like Piers Morgan is known, this is his brand. Tommy Lauren, she's known, this is her brand. Like, they're never, if they start being convinced to see reason, then they actually start hurting their own pockets. And I can't see these kind of people ever hurting their own call, hurting their own money.
Oh no.
For us, for you know, even if it was the quote unquote right thing to do, I just can't see them being like, you know what, I'm gonna go ahead and stop being like this. So that's just my opinion though, guys. So if the interview goes through, it goes through, but I kind of hope it doesn't, because I don't think victims should have to prove their humanity to people like Piers Morgan.
They shouldn't.
You know, I just don't think they should have to. And there's gonna always be people like him in the world, and whether you step to him or not, he's just gonna exist. And that's kind of, you know, that's the lesson I kind of got from a lot of the shit with Tommy Lauren, where I was like, well, maybe this is what people say they want, a conversation. I don't think it'll be fruitful. I've given up on these conversations.
Me too.
But at the same time, I want to allow that people are gonna be optimistic. I just can't, you know, I'm just not that optimistic anymore, and there's more than one approach to it. But it's sad, because it feels like they're winning. They're the people that get the TV shows, they're the people that get the platforms, dispute this vile nonsense, and their bank account just keep winning. And then people that try to do these more inclusive, more intersectional shows, that's the people that are always fucking fighting just to stay on the air.
Yes, sir.
You know, I don't know what it says about the world that, you know, the winners are the Trumps. You know what I mean? Salt Lake City, Utah lawmaker wants to require that all evidence kits police collect after a sexual assault be tested to catalog and compare the perpetrator's DNA against other rapes. Here's a news flash. It wasn't happening already.
Right.
Yeah.
So everyone we do is a one-off. We don't run it to see if this person has had a pattern of other rapes.
If they test them.
Right. If they test them, right. They got warehouses of shit and shit. Right. You know, they be like, well, if we don't test them in 10 or 20 years, burn the shit.
Yeah, a lot of kids get destroyed before, you know.
What a log and shit, because they somewhere where they ain't supposed to be. They're not properly in a proper holding facility.
Right. Salt Lake City Democratic Representative Angela Romero said on Tuesday night town hall meeting that she's worked on legislation that would require the state crime lab, which has been grappling with a backlog, to test all rape kits. Romero says she does not yet know how much it would cost, but it's important to run the test, not only to investigate that sexual assault, but to try to identify serial rapists or tie suspects to other crimes.
Right.
Lawmakers have already set aside $3 million to help the 2,700 kit backlog for the past few years.
Woo.
State crime director Jay Henry says the overwhelmed lab won't finish those tests until 2018. So if you did report your sexual assault, just wait till 2018. But hey, Piers Morgan got all the answers. You weren't really raped if you don't go to the police. So
right, so you go to police, you know 2-3 years ago, you know, you still have to wait. People act like rapists like CSI. They really act like it's just, I file a rape, I get, they come back within 24 hours, and we go get the killer. Nah, I file a rape, they may or may not test the rape. Then if they do test the rape, if my kitten shit ain't fucked up, depending on what evidence they have, I may or may not go to trial. Just depends. And then if I go to trial, I can't guarantee that I'm going to, that the person that committed the crime against me will be convicted. Most people that commit the crime of rape are never convicted. Ever convicted. That's what a lot of people have to realize. People act like, well, just go. You go, okay, well, what's the percentage that the person that committed this crime against me will go to jail? It is a very small percentage that it would go to jail, that it would ever go, that you would ever get a trial. It's a very small percentage that your kit will even be goddamn tested in the first place. And then people go, well, why don't people come out? You go, well, look at that mountain over there. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm gonna take your money and call it a day. No, it doesn't take away what happened to me, but at least I get some fucking compensation for the crime that has been committed against my body, versus the other way, it's nothing. And then, not to come out, you're not guaranteed, you might get a mistrial, you might have to go, you know, sometimes they be like, well, let's run it, you know, let's do it all over again. And then, you know, sometimes you have witnesses, people move, people change their names, people don't want to testify, people's like, yeah, I was willing to do it when I was 18, but I'm not willing to, you know, put my name out there, you know, on your behalf at 35. I got a family, I got kids, I don't want to be harassed, you know, because people go, well, hey, you out here for the person that's being a victim. And you know how it is about our country and victims, we give zero fucks about victims. It don't matter who the victim is, we give zero fucks about victims.
And then you got Piers Morgan going on TV telling motherfuckers that, you know, if you ain't go to court, it's you're faking, you know. And I'm sure if you don't win the trial, you're also faking, you know, just whatever, man. I guess let's get into some other news, guys. Let's do some fucking with black people, guys. All right. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe and we find different articles that make us feel fucked with as black people, and we score them from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. All right, let's see what we have in store. Diversity in animation, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We need to talk about it. I think we agree, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's slowly been happening.
Well, there was a discussion about it. Okay. I'm reading this from Fusion, written by Isha Aran. So obviously it's a notoriously male dominated field.
Of course, back in the early days, women can't draw, you know.
Back in the early days of Disney, women were outright barred from what the company called the creative work in connection with preparing the cartoons for the screen, and relegated to the ink and paint department. Women are picking up. Obviously, it's getting better in the past few years, but only 21% of working members of the Animation Guild, the key union for animation artists, were women. And you hardly need statistics to know the field is heavily white. Just look at the history of damaging ethnic caricatures that animation's given. So the Hollywood Reporter decided to say, hey, we need to have a conversation about racial and gender issues in animation. And it said, they decided that we should have 7 white men discuss it.
Because they know. Yeah, they know. Mm-hmm. They know. Yeah, it happens a lot when people be like, let's have a discussion. It is never the people that actually need to be there. Let's talk about issues with black people, no white people. Let's talk about issues with women. No women. Let's talk about issues by LGBTQ people. None of them on the board. Everybody is straight, cis, het, male and female. Mm-mm. Yeah, no, because you really don't want to hear their opinions. Mm-hmm. Because if you did, you would have them on there.
Yeah, looking at the Hollywood Reporter, looking at the graphic they have for the article is fucking hilarious. It's the whitest whiteness. Oh my god, right, I put it in the chat.
Yeah, because indirectly you're saying we know better. We know better about diversity. The fucking diversity is not here.
Yeah, it's just when you look at the picture, it's like 7 white dudes, and then the underneath animation roundtable, Seth Rogen and 6 more on avoiding ethnic stereotypes and how to break the mold of princesses. And you're like,
y'all didn't think y'all gonna get fucking roasted for not having one female, which that's sad. You shouldn't have to actually demand you got to have one female. You should have the whole panel shouldn't have a fucking man on it. It should be all women of different races and backgrounds and ethnicities if you really wanted a true table, because all princesses ain't white. Because that's the default. All princesses are white females, white straight females.
How do you approach different ethnicities and cultures of animation? Are you conscious of running the risk that some groups could take offense? Howard, you have to be careful. Just speaking from my own perspectives on Zootopia, one of the things that I love about animation is that we often ask ourselves, why does this have to be an animated film? And for us, that was great about doing what was great about doing a movie about bias and difficulties between groups is that we didn't have to use human beings. You could use different types of animals to be an allegory for what we are experiencing as humans. When we first pitched it 5 years ago, we had this predatory prey idea. Then we did about a year of researching the animals and then in the human sociology as well. We started to figure out really quickly that these two groups of animals not getting along was just like our situation of our own world. So we really dove into bias, and not just bias, kind of in your face bias, contemporary bias, which is kind of everything around us. And then as we were making the film, the world started to go crazy with politics and the election that just happened, and this weird lineup between what we're doing with the film and what's happening in the world, especially in the United States, came out, and you can't really plan for something like that. But when a film ends up being timely, and then Jennings says, Sausage Party. Rogan says, yeah, we knew. And Mike Mitchell says, you knew that people wanted to see food having an orgy? Go ahead of your time, self. So on the cusp. Osborne. Talking about culture, we had a crazy challenge. The Little Prince is a book that's known all over the world. It's been translated into 260 different languages. And I think that's a big reason why it's been seen as this impossible book to adapt. I initially said no because it's crazy how different the book is in different cultures and at different times in people's lives when they read it. So we were looking for a way to tap into universal ideas that are there in the book. And then luckily the book was able to draw in the talent from all over the world that wanted to be involved in the project, and we were able to have these different perspectives on why the book resonated with people and has been around 70 years. When we took the completed film to different places, they said, oh, the parents, they're Italian, aren't they? Or in China, they will say, these are Chinese. This is a Chinese mother. Everybody was relating to what was universal about the book and the movie. Muscary talked about Moana. He says they had a challenge of dealing with this culture that we were really outsiders to in a way. I knew something about the South Pacific just from a distance, reading books set there and seeing paintings by Paul Gauguin. I don't know if I pronounced it right. And that sort of thing. But after I pitched the idea to John, the Disney Animation Creative Chief, I started to read Polynesian mythology, and I discovered that there was this character, Moai, who was bigger than life, could pull up islands with his magical fish hook, and was a shapeshifter. And I was like, why has this never been done before? So we caught, probably because y'all never have Anyway, so we
come on, you'd have some diversity. Somebody could have been like, hey, y'all know my people, because you didn't have nobody. You had to actually, man, you do the research.
Right. I'm also weird that he had to read it after he pitched the idea.
Come on.
Anyway, so we cobbled together a story, pitched it to John, and he said, this is great, but you got to dig deeper, do more research. So we were forced to go to Tahiti and Samoa and Fiji. Our development people arranged a really deep dive into the culture, where it wasn't the tiki bars and that sort of thing. We met with anthropologists and archaeologists and linguists and the cultural ambassadors, and as we went forward, we kept these people involved because we really wanted to be faithful to the culture and yet make a movie that hopefully would entertain people around the world. But it was an added challenge that we didn't have when we did Aladdin. Our research in Aladdin, it was during the first Gulf War. So for our research, we went to LA Convention Center, and there was a Saudi Arabian Expo. Osborne, that's pretty good. On Kung Fu Panda, we just Googled China. That was as far as we could go. Oh, man.
This is not looking good.
Oh, man. Despite all the research, when the first images of Moana were released, you got some criticism for fat-shaming Polynesians. Were you surprised? Not entirely. When we designed the character of Moai in these myths, he was described in different ways. In some, he was short. In some, he was squat. Some, he was a leading man. It was an oral culture. There was nothing written down. He was a pan-Pacific demigod. Different versions of him existed. We really wanted to make him superheroic. We felt like if he was going to pull up mountains, he had to look like he could really pull an island with his magical fish hook. He's got to look powerful. So that's what we were going for on our trip. We took pictures of all sorts of people on the islands. We did sketches. So his design was based loosely on some people we had seen on the islands. And then we brought Dwayne Johnson in, and he was going to do the voice. And he said, oh, I like him. He's lovable. Yeah, I like him. Rogan says, you gotta listen to him, cause I guess it's cause he's the Rock. So yeah, it's just, and then they asked Seth straight up, you also got some criticism for some of the ethnic stereotypes in Sausage Party, like Selma Hayek's taco. Did that surprise you? No, he laughed. You know, our movie is directly about racial stereotypes and how religion divides us and how our beliefs divide us and how we look differently divides us and how we speak different divides us. And at the same time, as a lover of Disney animated movies, we took a lot of cues from those type of movies. They don't use it to the same narrative effect, but you look at Pixar's Cars, and the Fiat is Italian, and the VW van is a stoner, and the tow truck is a Southern guy. It's very much part of the animation vernacular. So we thought if we're going to do an animated movie, it's about these things, then it seemed like a perfectly organic opportunity to really lean into all those things and not just do them, but to really talk about them and confront them as head on as possible to really make it part of the overall narrative of the movie. So yeah, it's just, I don't know, man. It's just interesting. The diversity panel ain't got no diversity on it, but
ain't that how it always happen?
Yeah.
And then when you get the diversity panels that had diversity, everybody complains about why ain't there no white fucking men, and it's like, god damn, it ain't, because it ain't about you.
Yeah. You know, and I think the idea that you're gonna be able to justify any of this shit, I mean, you can justify it. Absolutely, you can justify it. Like, if you think something's funny or whatever, if your movie does numbers, if whatever, but it feels hollow when there's nobody else around that would disagree with you anyway.
Right.
And it's just all of y'all patting each other on the back. Like, you did a good job. I did a good job. We all did a good job. Meanwhile, there's people that, it's like, you could have had the people in there that were complaining. You could have the people because right, it's like when you do a panel like this, you get to write off people as haters. Mm-hmm. And they're not really three-dimensional. Like, the critiques aren't three-dimensional. It's just, well, people didn't like the body thing. They said you were fat shaming. Oh, we weren't fat shaming. Oh, okay, all right, next question. You know what I mean?
You look at somebody in their face and was like, yeah, I disagree with you, and this is why. I'm not some fucking imaginary person. I'm not some quote-unquote Twitter a person that you can block and put in and disappear forever. I'm a real person looking you in your eye. Explain to me.
Yeah, and I absolutely I understand that when there's not a lot of diversity in something, the biggest names at the top are always going to be some white dudes. But you know, I kind of blame the Hollywood Reporter, because they did the same thing they do this thing where they basically they book the biggest white names, and then they go, where are the black people? But it's like, this is the cover you did, this is the interview you organized, this is your panel, you chose to do this, and then you present it to the world like you're it. Like, isn't it wild that there's no black women in going nominated for an Oscar? Well, you chose to have a panel with no black people on it. You know, like, you could have had black women there, you could have, you know, you could have women of color there and done a completely different panel about the snubs or something, but you decided not to
because they don't move your papers or yeah. whatever you're trying to sell.
It's that fake you know, diversity shit. Anyway, if you're gonna be responsible for hosting the panel, I think you should do a better job.
Yes.
0 to 100?
Yes, 100.
All right, I give it 100. Penn frat struggles with brother's accusation of racism. Oh, and by the way, I meant to say, and I liked Sausage Party. I didn't have a problem. People call the movie terrible and shit. I thought it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's this season, you know, I'm sure Moana's good. I know Zootopia was dope.
It was excellent.
This isn't even a matter of like, these people can't possibly make a good film based around these things. It's just, if you're going to have a panel and it's about diversity, why the fuck are only white people there? And then if so, why isn't maybe a brown person leading the questions or something? It just seems weird. Penn frat struggles with brother's accusation of racism. A fraternity at the University of Pennsylvania is looking to reconcile internal differences after a member of the chapter posted a flyer on the campus alleging his own brothers treat him in a racist manner. The story, reported by the Daily Pennsylvanian, centers on Sigma Nu fraternity member Victor Arellano, a Mexican-American sophomore at the College of Arts and Sciences. Last Thursday, Arellano posted flyers on the campus of Love Sculpture with the heading, "But we're not a racist frat, right?" The flyer has two columns, each comparing Sigma Nu's alleged actions towards the brother of color and a white brother. Arellano describes being assaulted after expressing concerns about a white brother's role as fraternity pledge master. When he retaliated, Arellano claims he was called an affirmative action kid and a hood kid. They hit you, then that's just, you know, fall in line, little brother. You hit back. See, that's why we shouldn't let them brown people in.
Come on.
The rest of the flyer highlights alleged discrepancies in the fraternity's handling of the conflict, where Arellano claims he was ordered to attend 5 sessions of the university counseling and the psychological services program to address his anger issues. Now you get angry at getting hit. The flyer states that the white brother was merely restricted from attending 2 Sigma Nu events. Hey, bro, Trevor, I'm sorry, bro. You can't come to the next 2 parties, man.
That's right. That's what the next 2 events mean.
Got to skip the next 2 keggers, bro. Sorry. You're not going to be able to, look, okay, we'll make one of them the Habitat for Humanity thing, so that way you don't have to do that community service, but I'm telling you, bro, okay, you really pissed them off, man, okay, can't come, sorry, Victor's pissed, man, okay, you know that hot Latin blood, am I right, bro? I feel like that was the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't identify the white brother in the dispute. Beyond an acknowledgement of his previous membership of the staff of the Daily Pennsylvania, contacted Thursday, Penn and Fraternity Council President David Moore told Philly Voice that IFC supports the involvement of Penn's Office of Fraternity and Sorority Life, which has helped mediate the disagreement. Moore added he's confident Sigma Nu will reach a positive outcome and that the IFC will remain a resource for the fraternity.
So otherwise y'all did nothing. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does this involve black people, Karen? The incident comes about a month after Penn's campus was shaken by a cyber attack against black students on campus. Investigators determined that a GroupMe chat was racially offensive language originated from 3 individuals in Oklahoma, one of whom had been accepted into Penn before declining to attend the university. Penn's administrators have worked to reassure students and restore trust in the wake of this and other incidents over the past few months. Canaries in the goddamn coal mine. Anyway, 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, 100.
Yeah, gotta give it 100, man. Fraternities, dog, be careful. Let's see. How about this? Florida woman screaming racial slurs aims a gun, laser pointer, at a black McDonald's customer. Oh, Florida.
Hot in here to eat my Big Mac? What's happening?
Mm-hmm. According to WJXT, 47-year-old Charles Daniel said he was going in to have lunch at the restaurant on Friday. Isn't his life sad enough, guys? Do you need to be pointing a gun at a person that has to eat McDonald's for lunch? Think about it. The food gonna kill him eventually.
Get him high cholesterol and high blood pressure.
Yeah. What's the point of shooting him with a point of a gun when it's just a matter of time? Then 55-year-old Mary Oldman began honking at him and yelling racial slurs. What was the trigger for this? A black person? Hell no.
Nigga, jigaboo.
She was saying racial slurs, this and that, but my grandfather didn't raise us that way, so I overlooked it, Daniels told Jacksonville police. Daniel said he ignored the suspect but noticed a red dot from a gun's laser point on his shoulder as he walked into the restaurant. As I got ready to walk in, I saw a red beam on my shoulder. I looked and she had her gun pointed at me. Two employees working the McDonald's drive-thru also said Oldman pointed the gun laser pointer at them. Am I going to be all right and everybody else? What about everybody else? When she started pointing through the drive-thru window, Daniels explained. Police later found her, stopped at a traffic light. The gun she used was inside the vehicle. Officers drove her back to McDonald's where she was identified by witnesses. Oldman was charged with aggravated assault with intent to commit a felony. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Charge her ass. That's right.
Eating McDonald's while black. Now, another dangerous thing we can't do. 0 to 100, Karen. 100. I gotta give it 100 as well.
Batting 100 on all these.
Yeah, this is pretty bad. Pretty bad day. Teacher asked students to entertain us all with a fun slave song during a lesson on Frederick Douglass. Oh, Jesus.
Who thought this was okay?
One of them fun slave songs, huh? You guys know how it goes. You know how sometimes you listen to a slave song, you be like, that's my jam.
You know how you be listening to a slave song, it is, oh, happy day, oh, County happy High School day. That's them fun slave songs.
Fire tonight after a controversial assignment some are calling racially insensitive. It is the latest example of tension in that school system. WJZ is live. Devin Bartolotta explains the teacher was not disciplined. Devin?
Mary, the Howard County School Superintendent tells our media partner, the Baltimore Sun, that teacher is inexperienced and the assignment outrageous. Making light of black history, that's what one Mount Hebron teacher is accused of, assigning 11th grade students to write songs about slavery, saying, quote, have fun and entertain us all.
My insensitivity barometer hit 10.
Former school board member Larry Walker says the district lacks guidance on diversity issues, but the teacher should not lose her job.
I think this was just a teacher who had a blind spot, and from my investigation, was well-intentioned in the lesson.
The teacher in this case was placed on administrative leave, not a disciplinary action, the district says.
There's been lots of similar incidents at Hebron towards, like, racism and stuff, and I think that this is just another thing that, like, contributes.
Just last week, Oakland Mills High School students walked out over racial tensions in the school. And in February, a racist rant from a Mount Hebron student went viral.
Who the f*** cares about some black man?
Now, this poorly worded assignment has taken center stage.
Other teachers in the past years have done it before, and this is really the only time anybody's gotten in trouble for it.
Is this kind of assignment acceptable in this district?
So it's never acceptable to offends students or adults, and we just want to make sure that that doesn't occur even by accident.
The district now promising it won't happen again. The assignment was removed. The teacher was back in the classroom yesterday. Reporting live tonight, Devin Bartolotta, WJZ Eyewitness News.
Devin,
back in class yesterday. Good for you guys. Good for you. 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh yeah, 100. Yeah, I'm glad I don't have children. I hate to be like that. No.
These teachers, they just don't know any better, I guess. You know, sometimes you just.
Yeah, you know, from the way it sounds, the school has a history. You had the students walk out. You had sound like you had another student who, you know, did some viral stuff on Facebook. But, you know, we gonna act like, you know, this shit just don't exist. We promise again.
Can you do a little bit of soft shoe for us? And get up here. during this Frederick Douglass meeting, you mind getting up here and play a little bit of spoons?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all you Jewish children, you know y'all good at math. Why don't y'all go up there and show us how your parents, have all the money in the financial industries and shit like that.
During the Hitler lesson,
yeah,
by the way.
During the Hitler lesson. Yeah, we're covering Hitler, and, because we're covering Hitler, and we know that, y'all had a lot of stuff. Go ahead and give us them show tunes that your parents sung while they was getting killed in showers.
Right. The fuck out of here, man. And then they wonder why the kids walk out and shit. Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. But these school people, they just don't know. In Arkansas, school board member's blackface photo led to calls for his resignation. Oh, also, shout out to the school for not suspending that teacher. Already back in the classroom, because fuck it. Ted Bonner, an Eastern Arkansas school board member, is being called to resign by the Arkansas NAACP and several residents after photo service of him wearing blackface as a costume for a Halloween party while also holding a sign referring to the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, what about this dude even looks black? Like, he's not just quote-unquote black. He's dressed as like a fucking sharecropper. He's got overalls on and a dirty-ass hat.
I'm talking about, he went old school, y'all. Look like shoe polish. Like, so he wasn't trying to brown face. He literally went like black face. He was like, nah, I'm gonna go to the shoe polish.
On Monday, during the Belvin school board meeting, the NAACP and others demanded his resignation. Bonner, however, has 2 years left in his term and he refused to resign. According to the AP, during the meeting, Bonner, who was white, refused to address the question as to why he dressed up in blackface. It's embarrassing, it's ridiculous, and it's hurtful to the people of Arkansas, not just the people of Blevins, said state NAACP chapter president Rizelle Aaron. Ted Bonner has no remorse. He is not apologetic. Bonner claims he was unaware that there was such a thing as blackface, and he says he's very sorry. Mm-mm. Guys, I don't even know what blackface is. How would I know? It's crazy to me too.
Right, there's no such thing as racism. There's no such thing as racism.
Yeah, we're all shocked together on this one, guys. I'm a stranger to the racism that I just perused myself. I didn't even know I was doing that, guys.
I'm appalled. What?
He hit the I didn't even know
I could do that.
I could do that. That was a thing that just happened, guys.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? It probably will serve his last 2 years either. I mean, two. He won't do them last 2 years.
No action will be taken against Bonner. No action's going to be taken against him. Well, there you guys go. Because you can just put on shoe polish, go to a Halloween party, and still be on the school board. I'm sure the black kids on the school board will be just fine, guys. Just absolutely, it'll be okay. Those black kids in that school district are in good hands, okay? Their needs and the sensitivity to them will be well addressed now that this guy's on the case. When something racial comes up, I'm sure he'll understand the nuance of the situation. What about this guy being on the board is bad? All right, last one, guys. All right. We just a lot of hundreds today.
Everybody get 100. You get 100. You get 100.
Mm-hmm. We are fucking up some commas with all these hundreds.
Clear we are.
That are being handed out right now. So, let me do one more. Here's one. This one happened in North Carolina, guys. Yeah. You guys know North Carolina. That's where we're from. Mm-hmm. We love it here. All right, let me see if I can get this to play. For some reason, everything's moving off slow now. Okay, let me click it one more time.
It was a clip that was viewed all over the world during the election. 78-year-old John McGraw punching a protester, Rakeem Jones, as he was being escorted out of a Trump rally in Fayetteville. Later, on Inside Edition, McGraw defended his actions, saying Jones deserved it. But a change of heart today in court. McGraw faced assault and battery charges for the sucker punch. Both McGraw and Jones spoke about the incident in court today. McGraw told the judge his actions were not racially motivated. McGraw also apologized to Jones, saying they're both caught up in a political mess and should work together to heal the country. Jones accepted McGraw's apology, and then the two hugged.
I just felt good being able to shake his hand and being able to, you know, being able to actually face him.
McGraw was given 1 year unsupervised probation for his actions. The judge said he's pleased that both gentlemen found a way to peacefully resolve the issue.
This shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out. No thanks, don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Alright then. I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Rooting for you. How dare you?
Fuck you, nigga.
Bitch, get out of my face.
Nigga. Why hast thou forsaken me? You said you was loyal, but you wasn't. You said you was faithful, but you a lying ass bitch.
That whole exchange was basically this.
If an officer stops you, always be polite and never ever run away. Promise mama you'll keep your hands inside. Is it a gun? Is it a knife? Is it a wallet? This is your life. It ain't no secret. It ain't no secret. No secret, my friend. You can get killed just for living in your American skin. Oh.
Yeah, that's the first one I ever wanted to give more than 100. And I know the rules. You out of your motherfucking mind. I would... he would have caught these hands. I don't give a fuck.
I'd have been like, press all the goddamn charges. Fuck you.
And it ain't no motherfucking we either, nigga.
No, it's not.
We got caught up in politics. Ain't no we. I didn't eat nobody. Mm-mm. How did we get caught up in politics and I didn't hit a single person? Sorry, I know I'm off camera. I'm coming back on. But yeah, how we get caught up in politics? I ain't hit you. I came and expressed my First Amendment rights without touching or putting a hand on damn person up in there. I got escorted out by police and you fucking sucker punched me. We going to court. You facing me in court. I ain't hugging you. I ain't talking. I don't have shit to say to you. I didn't do nothing wrong. Man, you hit the right one, bruh. You hit the right one. I know that much.
Because if it me, I'd be like, press all the motherfucking charges. Because I guarantee you, if the races would have been reversed, there'd have been no sympathy, no empathy, and white folks would have been up in flames. I don't want to hear this. Nope.
I would have hugged him, and I would have stomach punched the fuck out of his ass while he couldn't go nowhere. Nope.
No, I'm gonna hug him.
I hug him. I put my arm around his shoulder so he can't move, and I would stomach punch that nigga in the stomach like 17 times. Cause fuck you, leave you in a pile of tears. You gotta be out your motherfucking mind, nigga. Cannot believe.
Yeah, so basically,
okay, I understand. As black people, we've had a lot of shit done to us, and if this brother's prerogative is to forgive, then that, you know what, that's on him.
It is.
And that's his decision, and if he can live with that, and if that's what he needs in his life, cool. But if that judge made him forgive that man, fuck that shit. You know, if he really one of these like black people that they don't want to have that anger in their heart and shit, I understand. You know, I do understand, like, you don't want to live your life that way all the time, or, and it did happen to you. It didn't happen to me. I didn't get punched. I can only think of how I would handle it, you know, and maybe, however many months later, maybe I also too would be like, you know what, fuck it. I don't even care no more. I don't know. I can't imagine a world like that, but maybe I would be. I don't know. It didn't happen to me. I haven't been sucker punched by no racist ass white man. I couldn't see me in court letting him talk about how he ain't racist and he just got caught up. I couldn't see it, dog. But if that's what you felt you need to do, then that's what you need to do, bro. So still 100 for me. Mm-hmm. Still 100.
Still 100. Yep.
But I'm definitely fucked with. We have to move on to something a little lighter.
I'm a jam now.
It's okay. I knew some of these cross over the streams. This was also one of the acceptable white people love making songs.
Yeah. this is my groove right here.
Let me move to the second section now, so we'll be right back. 1 second, guys, just take care of this ahead of time.
I used to remember listening to WPG Power 98, honey, and that jam used to come on, honey. That right there, that my jam right there. I used to play that shit on my tape, double-sided tape track on repeat. I'm old, y'all, double-sided tape track, but I don't give a damn, and I love that song.
Double-sided tape track, what is that?
You know how your tape would go double-sided, you play, and then it would flip on its own and go to the other side, double-sided.
Oh, okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about a Walkman?
No, I would have like I had like a boombox that would do it on its own.
Okay, it would just flip for you. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Yep, old school. Yeah, old school. That. Yeah, and I had, you know, you had to pay the extra money for the Walkman to flip. So I got the double sided Walkman, and yeah, honey, that song right there still go. For a good workout song when you don't want to run too hard but you want to do that mid pace, but yeah, that's that black woman's jam song. I'm pretty sure that's on the list, ain't it?
Probably. Emma Roberts dons a bright red sweater while picking up cupcakes with her own I'm sorry. White people news is so good. With his own off boyfriend, Evan Peters.
I wonder what kind of cupcakes.
She made the news for picking up cupcakes, dog. With Christmas nearly.
Flames. I bet it was flame, but cream cheese frosting and everything.
I probably didn't have enough seasoning. With Christmas nearly days away, wearing the color red is quite appropriate. And Emma Roberts was getting into the holiday spirit as she donned a bright red sweater, which picked up an assortment of sweets from Sprinkles Cupcakes in Beverly Hills, California. The 25-year-old actress was seen with her on again, off again boyfriend, Evan Peters, 29, catching a ride in his car while wearing the rumored engagement ring on her left ring finger. The rumors must be true. Before jumping in the car, the niece of Julia Roberts. Okay, because I was wondering who the fuck she is. I don't think I've ever heard of her.
Emma.
I was like, is this Emma Stone? Nope, it's not her.
No.
The niece of Julia Roberts showed off her stylish figure in denim flare jeans, black booties, and matching purse selected by stylist duo Britt and Kara Elkin. Her bright blonde locks were pulled into a ponytail as she accessorized in her black Ray-Ban sunglasses, small hoop earrings, and large stoned bauble on her engagement ring. Multiple sources have confirmed to Us Weekly that their engagement is back on as of November 26th, and she has been wearing her ring on the set of Scream Queens. Oh, that's what she's in. The American Horror Story stars were also spied together recently during a shopping trip last week, as well as exchanging smooches in New York City. Oh, so they were both on that show. I don't watch that show.
Mm-mm.
So that's why I don't know her. And with the wrap on the second season of Scream Queens, damn, they made two seasons on that.
A lot of people like that show.
I haven't watched a single second. It appears, I do notice I don't see Niecy Nash in the promos no more, so now I'm like, I'm completely out.
Right.
It appears Emma has more time for the relationship now, and the two certainly had a whirlwind of a romance, getting engaged in late 2013 after a year and a half of dating, calling it off in June 2015, and reuniting in August, and later splitting in May of this year. Now the two have decided to give it another go. Well, good luck, you white starlets. Let's see what else we got coming on white people news. Flip or Flop star Christina El Moussa's new man revealed, and he witnessed Tarek's gun incident.
Oh shit, Flip. Is that one of them HGTV shows?
It is one of them HGTV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Flip or Flop star Christina El Moussa reportedly has a new man in her life days after Christina and her husband co-star Tarek released a statement to ET explaining that they have been separated since May. TMZ reports the 33-year-old has struck up a relationship with the family contractor Gary Anderson. Oh, Gary done slid up in them DMs.
Mm-hmm.
According to the police reports, Anderson was a witness at the couple's big blow up in May when police showed up to the couple's home upon receiving a call of a possibly suicidal male with a gun. Damn. Tarek allegedly ran from the house with a firearm and dropped the weapons when officers instructed him to do so. The reality star told police he had no intention of harming himself but was looking to blow off some steam. According to the couple, the incident was a misunderstanding and that Tarek had gone on a hike and took a gun for protection from the mountain lions, bobcats, coyotes, and rattlesnakes. That's the lie y'all tried to tell TV.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take away our TV show, our mainstream income.
Come on.
According to TMZ, Gary was the witness who told deputies on the scene that Tarek had a gun. He has reportedly done work for the El Moussas in the past. In a separate statement following the announcement of their split, the pair admitted they both dated other people following the separation, but that neither party was ready to announce anything in terms of another relationship. So, what happens with the show then? Does everybody still be on the show?
Yeah, they got them already recorded. Them shit's still coming out.
Christina and Tarek tied the knot in 2009, and they share two children, 6-year-old daughter Taylor and 1-year-old son Braden. The former couple have said the decision to take time apart from one another was made in their children's best interest. Recently, Christina was spotted at a mall in Yorba Linda, California, sans her rumored new boyfriend, marking the first sighting of the mother of two since the couple's confirmation that they split. Christina looked subdued, an eyewitness told ET, keeping her head down and sunglasses on. Check out the video below to hear more. I don't need to hear more. I've heard quite enough. But yeah, sounds like their relationship flopped, and then he flipped on her.
Even if they're not together, they will still make that TV show. Yeah, like somebody said, ain't like the Neelys. When the Neelys split, that show went away. And I really liked their show a lot. Their restaurant closed and everything. They just disappeared off the map.
That's because they had authentic black love.
Mm-hmm.
White people love, apparently, is just like, we can keep doing this show. Mm-hmm. Scott Bio files police report accusing the rocker's wife of battery over Trump support. Donald Trump supporter and actor Scott Baio filed a police report earlier this week with the Ventura County Police Department in Thousand Oaks, California, accusing Nancy Mack, the wife of Red Hot Chili Peppers drummer Chad Smith, of battery. She whooped his ass. He came up in the house with them Trump signs. She said, what? I ain't one of them 53% of white women, okay?
Right. I'm the other piece, and I'm not here for it.
I don't know what you heard, but just because I'm rich don't mean I side with that bullshit.
Ain't that the truth? He ain't grabbed my pussy, and neither will you.
Bayo, who was one of the president-elect's most prominent and fiercest celebrity supporters throughout the 2016 election, was attending an event with his daughter in Thousand Oaks, California on Saturday, where the actor said that Matt confronted him about his support for Trump and that the confrontation ended with Matt getting physical. Don't let your president-elect make you get these hands.
Come on.
The copy of the report filed Monday, obtained by CNN, claims that hands, fists, and feet, wipe me down, were used to attack Bayo, but lists no minor bodily injury. Captain Garo Kirijan, I'm sorry, that just sounds like a Star Wars name. Captain Garo Kirijan.
Of the First Fleet.
Right. Red Leader, reporting to Captain Garo Kirijan.
Blue Leader, reporting in, sir.
Sir, the TIE fighters all around us. We're taking hits, evasive action.
Yeah, that's how
that goes. Yeah, Captain Garo Kirijan would be one of them fish looking ones and shit.
Mm-hmm.
What are we gonna do? How are they talk?
Ah!
I think Forrest Whitaker was Captain Garo Kirijan, is what I'm trying to say.
I think it was.
Oh man, that's my man.
Yeah, y'all know what? If I ever get arrested, it's gonna be because I joined Forrest Whitaker's troop and just was like, hey, you know what? Fuck it.
Yeah.
Like, if I ever get arrested, y'all, I'm like, y'all know Karen lost it. She just went AWOL.
I wish I could do an impression of that, because that was so good.
Wouldn't it, though?
The flags rain over us. I was like, what? Idiom mean in space. What is going on? Anyway. The media relations officers at Ventura County Sheriff's Office confirmed that Bayo filed a report but told CNN in a phone interview they are not disclosing who the suspect is or any particulars of the case. Let me tell y'all something. If she whooped his ass, you ain't got to disclose who it was. I guarantee you she'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I whooped his ass. Yeah. He came up in here talking about some Trump. I saw him on TV. And I said, if he comes up in this party, I'm going to put my motherfucking hands on. I'm going to put my foot dead up his ass.
And I meant it.
So the investigators are looking into the matter now. A Twitter direct message sent to Mac and a request for comments sent to the representative of the Red Hot Chili Peppers were not returned Friday. Why would the Red Hot Chili Peppers representative be the one to respond? So he hasn't spoken about it on social media. I guess Bayo has his lines. He don't want to get drugged to hell. He retweeted several tweets that his wife, Renee Bayo, who claims that she was a witness to the altercation, tweeted slamming Mac and responded to TMZ report for the incident. So he retweeted his woman because he didn't want to say nothing. Oh, why she had your back when you was getting your ass whooped, though? No. That's what you need to be retweeting, like, what was you when I was getting drugged, though? I ain't want to hit this woman. You supposed to step in and do something. You over here tweeting about it after the fact like I had your back way back.
I was like burning in the back of the line.
Fuck hashtags and retweets, nigga. 140 characters in these streets, nigga. I believe was the scholar Sean Carter. TMZ reported Thursday that Bayo asked Mac to calm down because his children were present. He tried to use the kids, but my kids are here. it's Trump's America now, bitch, fuck these kids. Because his children were present, but she persisted to slam his support of Trump and allegedly asked how he could support someone who said, grab him by the pussy. Derogatory comments that were allegedly made by Mac referenced in 2005 Hollywood tape that surfaced in October in which Trump, we already know about that.
I told you.
She did.
Yeah, because them white women was like, that motherfucker will not be grabbing my pussy. And if you support him, you telling everybody that can touch my shit. Fuck you.
I got your pussy right here.
Right.
Broken pussy.
Hey.
In an interview with Fox News in October, Bio defended Trump's lewd comments by saying he just talks like a guy. First of all, I think 11 years ago Trump was a Democrat, so doesn't he deserve a pass? I like Trump because Trump is not a politician. He talks like a guy. And ladies out there, this is what guys talk about when you're not around. So if you're offended by it, grow up. And by the way, this is what you guys talk about over white wine when you have your brunches. So take it easy with your phony outrage. This is what the way the world works. It's not a big thing.
That's what he said. Oh yeah, you know what? Oh, she was like, oh, she probably read that right before his ass walked into the room, or she read it right before that part and was like, oh, okay, I see you. I lay my hands. She probably walked straight to him.
She probably was like, Siri, remind me to set up an appointment between Scott Baio and these hands. Thank you.
Scheduling for appointment with Scott Baio and these hands.
Send Scott Baio directions to these hands.
Mapping direction to these hands.
Siri, did you say these hands or these hands? These hands, the second one. He also shared a picture of Mac.
Siri was like, the left one, the right one, or both? Both.
Renee Bio claims Mac assaulted her husband physically and verbally assaulted their 9-year-old daughter, asking her repeatedly if she would like to be grabbed by the pussy. Hey, look, y'all voted the nigga in. I mean, these are questions in Trump's America. It's just how guys talk. Now she shouldn't have done that, but you know what I'm saying. It makes a point. At TMZ, no hugging. She grabbed Scott Baio, hit and shoved him twice, put her finger in BB's face and yelled at her vile thing, said Renee Bio. At New York photo gal at TMZ, that has got by. She pointed her finger in our child's face yelling, do you want me to grab your pussy? Learn how to read.
Learn how to read. Oh, she was like, you got a foot nigga for a daddy. You better get smart, girl. she came in on full blast.
Lastly, at Harvey Levin, TMZ, at TMZ, I have video of how her own sons tell me they refuse to her vow. They're used to her vile behavior. Then she shared a picture of Mac that appears to be a screenshot from the video. Hey, does this look like a same mother lady to you? I've blacked out minor children. There you go.
Yeah, honey, she was like, my Beyonce didn't win. Oh, hell no.
I guess it was not a happy day for Scott Baio. It's like my brain won't let me say it's right with respect, so it is what it is. All right, let's get out of this white people news and get into some guess the race, guys. All right, what's my guess the race music? I'll go back. And I gotta scroll up. Here we go. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, the chat room and Karen, to guess the race. And just as a friendly reminder, they are all racist. All right. A mom dies in a tank of molten chocolate after tumbling in when leaning over to pick up her mobile phone.
Oh shit, was this really Wonka? What's happening here?
Scoopity doop,
this is what happens when you tumble to get that cell phone.
A mom of two has died in a horrible accident after tumbling into a tank of molten chocolate. Oh, you mean the way I want to die? At their funeral, they gonna eat her.
Oh, she's already made of chocolate now.
Chocolate covered human. Svetlana Rosalina was at the Moscow factory where she worked when she feared to have dropped her mobile phone, and she leaned in to pick it up.
Yeah, you can have my goddamn mobile phone.
That's a chocolate covered phone now.
Right.
Some morsel.
Right. Come on, somebody gonna bite into a bar and gonna get a piece of a cell phone.
I guess so. The 24-year-old was then dragged into a vat of sweet mix and churned up into the metal machinery. She was minced. Only her legs were left, woo, said one local source. Oh, man.
Mm-mm.
I guess she had to Hershey kiss her ass goodbye. Another version is that she fell in while emptying a sack of ingredients into the giant mixer. The girl was dragged in while she was trying to empty a sack, said another local source.
Don't take out safety precautions. Guarantee you, whatever the safety precautions she didn't follow them. Guarantee you, they say you drop shit in there, you press this big red button and we'll stop it. Don't do this bullshit.
Yeah, apparently, I don't know, didn't work.
Mm-mm.
The woman who was married to Vladimir, and the couple had two young children age under 5. Police investigation is under way into her horrific death.
I couldn't even imagine explaining them to your kids. How your mama died? Well, my mama died by chocolate.
Death by chocolate.
Literally death by chocolate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, I think they should look into all the causes that could have led to her dying. They shouldn't candy bar any cause. Mm-hmm. And they're looking into these. A local resident said the young woman died at the confectionery plant in Fedortsovo. I live here and I can see the plant out of my window. At 6 p.m., there were police cars and a hearse. Was it a Hershey?
What was it called? The next bar, Nestle Human Crunch? That's what it's going to be called.
Oh, man. If only the Three Musketeers could have been there to pull out, you know? Feel like they would have saved her. Mm-hmm. That was real
instead
issue.
Of Reese's Pieces, it's going to be Woman Pieces.
Alright, so people are saying that she dropped her phone in the tank and tried to get it but was dragged in there. Witnesses say there were only her legs sticking out. Alright guys, Karen, you go first. Guess the race.
White.
Alright, so you think it was white chocolate?
Mm-hmm.
Let's check the chat room, see what they believe.
I had to scroll up a little bit.
Wait, I thought you already got. I got it. I think
I did. I was just letting you know you might have to.
And now you know what's in those boxes of mystery chocolates. White.
Aww.
Swiss Miss hot chocolate white. The cream and the cocoa sampler mix. Caught them Hershey hands white. let's see. Finally learned the secret ingredient of nougat white.
Aww.
I know. you get white lady in my chocolate. You got white lady in my chocolate. You got chocolate in my white lady. Reese's white pieces. Reese's white pieces. the whole plant Snickers white.
Y'all ain't shit.
White chocolate mocha. Couldn't translate that this isn't sweet chocolate white women really want white. Will her family get 100 grand white? I don't think they're gonna get a payday, you know what I'm saying? They might mess around and get zero, if you know what I'm saying. So I can't see that happening. All right. I know they think they're gonna get mounds of money, but I know y'all hate all these puns, but I'm gonna enjoy them. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit. That's why my mouth's balls was kind of thick.
Mm-hmm. She is white.
That makes me sleep sick.
Mm-mm-mm. People are gonna go back and listen to this podcast for all the Cadbury Easter eggs. Some of these jokes. Someone said she can't help her Butterfingers. Oh man. Anyway, guys. Oh wait, did y'all want to see her? I should probably put a picture on. It'd be funny if I would have just put a picture of a chocolate covered like doll or something, but no, I'm gonna put a real picture up, guys. Yeah. Yep. That's her wedding photo, man. Sad, only 24 years old.
Oh.
I know. Now her husband gonna be all Toblerone by himself.
Right, she didn't get no golden ticket.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. That's her with a gun. She must have liked to shoot. Mm-hmm. So, there you go. Sad that it had to happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
She couldn't help that sweetness.
Time to candy wrap this story up and move to the next one.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about this one? And don't forget, these horrible puns about this person dying are brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for people with coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out getbevel.com/TBGWT and you get your first month free at getbevel.com. It's almost Christmas, man. Like, you really cutting it close. I know I got my box yesterday. I was looking at it and it was like, I mean, it honestly, after you open the box that it's in, it literally comes in bevel wrapping paper. I could not, like, it there can't be a better lazier gift for you to get somebody and look that, like the fucking queen. Okay?
I gave that to my uncle and all I did was pull the box out of the box and was like, here you go.
So y'all need to get in on this, man. Getbevel.com, GETBEVEL.com/TBGWT. All right. Back to the guess the race. Shocking footage shows the moment a Cook County jail detainee punched a female officer while he was in his cell after it was discovered that he was using a laptop to film a talk show.
What?
Jimmy Smith, 41, has been detained for more than 7 years inside the Illinois jail as he is awaiting disposition for numerous charges, including attempted murder, aggravated kidnapping, aggravated criminal sexual assault, and 2 counts of contraband in the penal institution, according to a news release from the Cook County Sheriff's Office. Surveillance video and an investigation revealed that on December 5th, Smith punched a female correctional lieutenant in the face inside the Division 9 jail. The vicious attack occurred as officers were trying to remove a contraband laptop that Smith had in his possession. Footage of the incident shows the female officer trying to speak with Smith, who was taking the laptop apart in an attempt to destroy it. Then, as the female officer approaches Smith to take the electronic device away, Smith can be seen punching her directly in the face as the other officers immediately rush and detain him. Smith was granted access to the laptop because he was preparing his defense since he will be representing himself in an upcoming trial. Oh, that's how you get a laptop in there? Hmm. Now officials are investigating how Smith not only obtained a laptop in his cell, but was able to keep it. Authorities say that multiple videos were found on the laptop that show Smith trying to host a show called My Back's Against the Wall. In one video that he shared online on the show, he can be seen eating some noodles in a bowl. Tune in tomorrow for oatmeal cream pies.
This sounds like some blog talk. I bet you he was hosting a blog talk.
Maybe. Is this a clip of his show there on here? Let me see.
Hello, this is Jimmy Smith. Welcome to this episode of My Back Against the Wall, coming to you live from Crook County Jail.
The $1 billion teacher pension funding bill.
He really is eating oodles and noodles. Holy shit, he really was eating oodles and noodles on that.
And you know, that's golden food.
Golden food?
Yeah, it's top notch. Didn't we read the thing about the oodles and noodles and how the oodles and noodles, you know, that's, you know.
I know Havoc or Prodigy, one of them niggas from Mile Deep, came out with a cookbook for shit like this. Mm-hmm. Authorities say since he's been held in custody, he has racked up a litany of additional charges, including attempted murder, aggravated battery, a deadly weapon, possession of contraband in a penal institution, all related to a 2014 incident where he attacked his public defender.
Oh, no wonder why he's doing himself now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He also had numerous lewd pictures of him in various settings within the jail.
What, top bunk, bottom bunk?
I don't know. Last year he was
on the exercise court. What are these various places?
And why were they lewd? Was it his dick out or something?
Apparently so. I'm assuming your dick, because for dudes, you know, that's the only thing that's considered lewd on you.
Nah, your butt too.
I mean, your butt too. Yeah.
Last year he's like, here's me spreading my cheeks on the chair on the stairs. Last week he met with an undercover officer and expressed interest in having a prosecutor and judge involved in his current case murdered. After authorities charged him with solicitation of murder, Smith's new next court date is scheduled for December the 21st. Guess the race of Jimmy Smith.
That nigga black.
Karen's going with black for Jimmy Smith. Let's check the chat room and see what you guys believe his race is. Let's see here. Okay, it's down here. All right. Welcome to the mock jail show, black. Black keeping up with the contraband, black. Aww. The black guy who tips niggas over, Tommy Lauren producer, white, black. And he's not dead, got that privilege, white. My baby mama put money on my books for these noodles, black. The correct answer is, and most of you guys guessed black, and you were right. Some of you guys went with white, though. And you get booed for that. Let me show y'all what he looked like.
Which one to see? Because we see what you see right now.
He's the black dude in the top left corner.
Okay, that's what it looked like. Right?
This is also him eating noodles right here. If you guys wanna, that was him on his TV show, mean mugging and eating the noodles.
Wow.
Yeah. Welcome to My Back's Against the Wall, as he liked to call it. Nigga was like, I'm gonna start a podcast in jail.
Yes!
Live from Cook County Jail.
Anybody can do it. Like, nobody would have ever found me. I'm announcing my location, Cook County Jail.
Right.
I'll make it easy for you to hunt me. Here's my inmate number.
Jimmy Smith. Welcome to this episode of My Back Against the Wall, coming to you live from Crook County Jail.
Look at his face right here.
the Senate vote to override Brown or for the House adjourned before voting.
What?
Said Browski, who is VP of Policy of the Resource Organization, the Open House.
Like, what did he think?
He got a microwave in there and everything.
Yeah.
He had the luxury suite.
They thought he was Iron Man in jail. Yeah, all the technology. TV.
Yeah, he did. Laptop.
He was doing pretty good for himself.
I claim he was. No wonder why he was mad.
Mm-hmm. All right, last one, guys. Let's go to the bonus round. Wait, I meant. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, we're all over the place. But let's see how we finish, because we plan on finishing strong. Karen, you 2 for 2 right now.
Ooh, that's good. Some about a good point. You think he had a Twitter account?
Probably. I mean, if he had... So, yeah, definitely probably. I mean, how was he spreading the word?
Find me on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic.
Check out my YouTube page, my Backs Against the Wall.
How was he paying to keep the services up?
Right. Happy Shanksgiving, y'all. Welcome to another episode.
No.
A karaoke bar owner shoots his ex-wife in front of customers during an argument at a private late night session.
Well, shit.
A man was arrested and charged with shooting with his ex-wife in a karaoke bar in Orlando. Tu Quoc Ho, 43, was charged with attempted second-degree murder with a firearm, aggravated battery with a firearm, tampering with evidence, and domestic violence battery after allegedly shooting his ex-wife inside of the bar. I guess all eyes on him. Close the bar when you see Tu Quoc. Police said the pair owned... Police say the pair owned Tonk Tao Karaoke Bar together and got into a fight about the business shortly after midnight on Friday, apparently during a private party. The woman, whose name hasn't been released, and her ex-husband said her ex-husband punched her in the head, then left the premises and returned with a gun. She was shot 4 times in the chest but survived and was rushed to Orlando.
Ooh.
I know. Medical Center reported to the outlet. Her condition isn't known at the time. She's expected to survive, reported to Orlando Sentinel. She was also shot in the arm. Police say Ho denied being responsible for the shooting. So, what? Everybody saw that, Ho.
I mean, you did it in front of people, dog.
Right. Some witnesses said things seemed fine, but then a man in a hooded jacket walked in and began firing. Other witnesses apparently refused to cooperate and claimed they didn't see anything happen.
Because they're like, they don't want them problems.
Yeah, I guess if a motherfucker don't nobody want it with Tu Quoc.
Mm-mm.
You hit him up. You probably was walking in like, don't one of y'all motherfuckers got sickle cell?
Oh.
Tu Quoc Ho. Guess the race, Karen?
Oh, Korean descent.
Okay, Karen's going with Korean descent. Let's see what you racist sons of bitches have come up with for your own guesses. Let's see. Luke Cage, black, Asian, love you, long time Asian. Oh, that's some old school racism right there. Ho, stay being a ho, Asian, Vietnamese. He shot Ling Ling in the face, Asian.
Oh,
pimps up, hoes down, Asian. God damn it, Asian. Luckily for the ex, with a stormtrooper aim, Asian. These hoes ain't loyal, Asian. Karate chop didn't work the first time, Asian. The correct answer is Asian, of course. All right, the correct answer is Asian. You guys all got it right. I guess Tu Quoc was screaming on that thug life. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, somebody said, pull your strap on, Tu Quoc. You better kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yep. He probably was, I just hope she can keep her head up in hospital, you know. Did this picture show up yet?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Cool. There you guys. Oh, neck tattoo. Dead giveaway. Dead giveaway. He probably got Thug Life tattoo on his belly too. Mm-hmm. Come with me.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't the one to fuck with. That's why people was like, I ain't see shit.
Yep. They probably, after he shot it, he's probably like, I ain't mad at you. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Heaven got a ghetto for him.
That's a good question.
Hopefully it's got a prison. Because that's really the real question. Mm-hmm. last segment. Shook stabbing. Florida. Damn, Florida, what happened today? You were doing so good. Everything was going fine. And it all fell apart in the last couple stories, huh?
I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. How dare you?
A woman has been arrested. Because she injured her husband with a sword.
A woman is in jail tonight after deputies say she attacked her husband with a sword.
Thanks, white man.
Action News Jack's Deanna Bettinetti. She's live from the Clay County Sheriff's Office. And Deanna, you learned this started as an argument.
And police say that Brandy took a wrench and threw it at her husband, hit her husband in the right thigh, then grabbed a sword and started swinging. Brandy Oberdeck is behind bars in Clay County tonight. This police report states she and her husband got into a fight about drugs and their relationship. And it didn't take long before things got violent inside this Middleburg home. The report states after Oberdeck threw a wrench at her husband, he picked up a sword and started to cause damage to the property with the sword. After he dropped it, police say Oberdeck picked it up and began swinging, hitting her husband in the stomach, forearms, and right side. I went to the home. People were inside, but didn't answer the door, so I left my card. I also tried other neighbors to see if they heard or saw anything. They didn't want to talk on camera. I did talk to a woman who claimed to be Oberdeck's mom. She says she thinks the sword is her son-in-law's family heirloom. And the mother says the two are separated for now. Reporting live in Clay County, Deanna Bettinetti, CBS 47, Action News Jax.
Family heirloom ain't nothing but a weapon in waiting.
Oh Lord.
Mm-hmm. Family heirloom came between family on this case. All right, guys, we'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Mm-hmm. We'll see you guys for a full slate of Christmas activities. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.